Hello.
Hello.
How's it going?
Oh gosh, Lisai.
Tired.
Oh yeah, same.
Probably not as tired as
No, you don't have to do that. You are tired. But we're tired for different reasons, I'm sure.
Yep. I was going to say I'm tired by choice, but you kind of are too, because you chose to have children.
That's certainly true. That is certainly true.
And I chose to have 5 drinks over the course of 2 days. And it's knocked me down. Any other mid... Am I still in my mid-20s?
You are whatever you want to be. It's a mindset.
We need a word for not quite mid, but not. I'm not quite late.
You are late.
Late is 28.
What are you?
I'm mid to late. I'm 27. I'm not even 27 and a half yet.
Okay. Correct. But you're almost there.
For real, though, I'm so excited to be 30. Tell us why.
30s are the best. And I really just think you keep getting better. 30s are great because people take you more seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And
more money.
I really do think you get better looking. Like, I genuinely think, without even trying, like, I feel like I've really done minimal things cosmetically. Like, I've done a little Botox. I've dyed my eyebrows. I've done 1 IPL laser facial, but I feel like I'm significantly better looking than I was when I was 20.
It's so funny because the stigma in society is that women get uglier as they age, but I feel like that's like male gaze. Like, men just like stereotypically like younger women. But I feel like I agree. I think women age gracefully and beautifully.
I think that men like the attention of younger women because it boosts their ego. But what they don't understand is that women don't like older men. Women like men with money.
That's so true. If women could get
a guy that was 30 with the same bank account of a guy that was 50, they would go for the guy that was 30.
No, you're so right about that.
That's just the truth. But this is... I'm just going to speak to all the younger girls listening. I have no idea our age demographic on this podcast, but...
I could probably tell you, but...
And I mean this with all the respect in the world, okay? This is going to be a hot take. And I'm speaking with people that are in our lives, uncles, you know, like men in our... We have men in our lives, like in-laws, that are of all different financial life points. Men... White males in their 50s, 60s, 70s have had every single
advantage
leg up,
yeah,
compared to women that they could possibly have. They should be wealthy, okay? That should not impress you. They should be wealthy. So that's really the bare minimum, is for them to have wealth. So you...
She said what she said. She said what she said.
You know, just find a guy around your age and wait a couple years for the bank... Save your... Wait for... Like, marry a guy close in age to you that's nice and treats you well and just wait a couple years, okay? That has the drive to be successful. Save your coin and wait a couple years. Like, you don't need to go for the old guy... But, you know, just I don't know. You know what? I'm not even going to say that. Do whatever you want to do. Obviously, it's your life. Do whatever you want to do. But yeah. I'm just saying, like, don't be impressed by that because they've had literally every advantage afforded to them. Like, they were there, like, when the internet came out. Like, they were there at the forefront of everything. Technology. Like, the forefront of technology, real estate, everything. So, they had everything going for them. They should have wealth.
Have those TikTok videos / reels ever come up for you that is interviewing a transgender man? So, a woman who has transitioned to become a man?
No. But I'd be fascinated. What are they about?
I've only seen one, so I shouldn't say multiple. But I saw this one, and interviewing this man who had once been a woman, and he said, the biggest thing I've learned from this experience is that male privilege is real. He was saying how much better his life has become since becoming a man. It's like, people respect me more. They treat me differently. Like, do you ever wish you could just, like, walk around?
Totally. And, you know,
should we just try it?
I have two things to say about this. And because I can't remember, this was a couple years ago. And one time I asked Spencer, like, how would you define, like, white male privilege? And he said, I don't think about the fact that I'm a white male.
Yeah, right. Like, you don't and have to think about it.
How I would define it.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, that is, like, such a perfect definition. Like, yeah. He's like, I don't have to think about the fact that I'm a white male. Whereas, like, you have to think about the fact that you're a woman. Like, black men have to think about the fact that they're black. Like, black people have to think about the fact that they're black, like, et cetera. And also, another thing, like, God love him. He goes, do you ever just fall asleep in the back of an Uber?
Like, literally, I was no. Like, the opposite, actually.
Excuse me? I don't even take Ubers. Like, I am so paranoid. Like, I remember the first time when I first had Dictator, like, having to put a car seat and then, like, literally sprint in front of the Uber because I was so paranoid. Like, the Uber would just, like, as if they want to kidnap my child, like, who wants a screaming baby?
You never know.
Like, there are crazy people out there. But, like, 99% of the Uber is, like, amazing. But, and, like, knew how to do the car seat better than me. But, like, he's like, yeah, like, sometimes when I'm coming back from, like, a work center in Connecticut or something, like, I change into comfy clothes and just, like, nod off. Like, that is male. I mean, obviously, there's, like, so many, like, deeper definitions of male privilege. But, like, that...
I can't even imagine that.
Yeah.
Oh, I would like to spend one day, right? And just, like, walk around the world.
Should we just dress up, like, in really good prosthetics and just be men for the day?
We could be like, and she's the man. We could do, like, what she did.
And it's even because, like, he doesn't have sisters, so there was just such a learning curve of just, like, what women go through.
Yeah.
In the world.
Yeah. I would be most interested in the workplace. What it would be like to be a man. Yeah. And I'll leave it there.
I feel like if you work in corporate, like, even in nursing, like, every position, it's gotten a lot better in the 10 years that I have been a nurse. Like, our CNO is a woman. But a lot of positions of power are men. But it's, like, the majority of nurses are women.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. And so it's, like, why are men, like, just moving up the ranks? You know, like, it's, you know, whatever. We're not going to get into it, but...
We could talk about that forever. The patriarchy is real.
Like, why are women told to get in the kitchen, but most chefs are men, you know? Like,
it's because women give birth and men don't. That's why.
I was at a dinner with mom friends, and I was like, you know, it's so crazy because women are clearly so smart.
I feel like women are more natural leaders.
Women are natural leaders, so smart, so organized. Even if you go back to, like, the hunter-gatherer, like, the gatherers were the women, like, the women who gathered actually are what fed the communities, because men would go out and shoot, like, one deer. Like, how long did that last them, you know?
Yeah.
But, and I go, like, how did that system get set up where men led? And my friend goes... We retired.
You're right. We're just like,
whatever. You guys.
Do it. Yeah. Or, like, it makes me think of that. What is it? Mindy Wong? Who was like.
No, it was Ali. Was it Ali Wei? Is that her name? No. It's the comedian. She's like, I don't want to lean in.
She's like, I want to lay down.
Ali
she's
Wang. Like,
and then they told us to, you know, and then, like, women started to go to work. We started to get equality, and it's like, don't tell them the secret. Yeah. Like, I want to lay down at home.
No, like, even if you look back at, like, our great-grandma, because my mom used to be like, yes, like, my grandma used to have migraines. Like, you, Kate, she had a chef. She had a gardener. She had a housekeeper. She had a nanny. I'm like, why did we get away from that?
Because women, like, the reason is a lot of women don't want that life. They want to work. And
which is amazing.
Also, it, like, I know we're joking, but
of course,
to not be able to have an opportunity to support yourself leads to a lot of abusive situations. Yes, and yes. Relationships.
You are 100% trapped. Mm-hmm. If you do not have any sort of financial freedom, you are trapped, which is a scary place to be in, of course.
Yeah. So I don't know how we got here, but
yeah, what happened?
I just, like, want to complain for a second.
Oh, my favorite thing.
Because here's my weekend. 3 glasses of wine on Friday, okay? Girls' night, 3 glasses of wine. Though one of my friends yesterday reminded me that that's almost a full bottle of wine.
Yeah, there's like 4 glasses in a bottle.
When you put it like that, it sounds like a lot.
Yeah.
So
I think like, to be over the limit, legal limit would be 3 glasses.
I'm sure. Yeah. Especially as a woman so petite.
Not that you're frail as me. Yeah, as wispy and skinny as me.
Of course, it'd be over the limit. Yet, last night, 1 beer, and then we went to this cocktail bar called Death & Co.
Yes.
That's like I guess it's a famous cocktail bar. And I had one cocktail. And let me tell you, I'm so down bad today. I have been hungover all day. And I feel like that's really not that much to drink. But yeah. I think it's the wine.
Yeah.
I'm just complaining because I don't really feel like I even drank that much. And I just don't feel like the punishment fits the crime.
Totally.
The crime.
I'm going to give you some of the early bird gummies that they sent me.
Okay, thank you. Because I'm just, like, unwell. I'm actually so upset about it. So thank you for hearing me. But I guess this is mid to late 20s.
Yeah, this is why I don't drink anymore. Not to, like, be that person. No. Sorry.
I called two of my friends today. And I was like, this is not even a wake-up call. Like, you drink too much. And you're like, wow, I made mistakes last night. I need to cut back. This is a wake-up call. Like, I don't want to feel this way.
You just need, like, to do, like, an NA thing. Like a non-alcoholic drink instead.
I know. I wish that more restaurants would sell non-alcoholic wine.
Mm, yeah.
Because I love wine.
Maybe they did, and did you ask? Or no. An NA beer?
No. NA beer is, like, fine, but it's, like, I just, like, really like to drink wine.
You gotta ask. If you don't ask, the answer is always no.
I know, but you might be interested. My cocktail last night had a full egg in it.
That used to be my jam, egg white.
I know, I love egg white, foam, but it was a full
also,
egg.
I just learned that a martini is literally just a shot of vodka.
No, it's just a shot of gin.
Or gin. It could be vodka.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it, like, would...
So why don't you just take a shot of vodka? You're just sipping on a shot of vodka.
Well, typically there's olives in it. It's a shot of gin or vodka with olive juice in it. So, like, a martini comes with olives. You would say, like, in theory, the olive juice cuts the taste of the liquor. And then you can say, like, dirty, filthy martini. And that just is more olive juice. I like, like, martini with a twist, which is lemon, because I don't like olives, but...
So, what you're saying is, like, you're just drinking, like, a vodka soda with lemon.
But like, minus the soda. Yeah.
Interesting. I'm judging you. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, I gotta give you all... I have to give you so much reality TV recap.
Okay.
You guys just don't even understand.
I also need to... I promised everyone... Nobody asked. But I promised everyone I would be recapping Severance, and so I will.
Okay.
So you go first.
Okay. You guys. Okay, what should we start with? I feel like we should start with Real Housewives of New York City and just get it out of the way, because it is dark.
I heard that the end of this season was... Like, the last episode was crazy.
I don't even want to go too much into it, because I feel like people have, you know, kind of, like... beaten into the ground on social media.
What happened?
And so I'm just going to talk about it. And trigger warning, we are going to talk about sexual assault.
Oh, my God.
So if that is going to bother you, just jump past this. So Uba, who's one of the characters, and there's also a lot of issues with colorism and things like that, and I feel like as two white women,
we like also racism, you mean?
Yeah, well, color, like, also because, well, Brynn, one of the women, Brynn, is biracial,
mm-hmm.
and another woman, Uba, is like a dark skinned yeah. black woman.
I know,
so, like,
I know.
There's
them.
Issues with that, and like we're just like not the people to speak on that, but I do think that there are that does come into play with like their issues with each other.
Okay.
And so Uba, Brynn is like very overly flirty and like that's kind of her thing. But she also has a lot of issues, like one, just growing up in South Bend, Indiana, dark. But I can't imagine like Uba probably had this like amazing upbringing either. I don't know. And like there's other women like Sai, I didn't have this amazing upbringing, or Raquel, who's like a newer housewife. So
remember, they went through a lot of trauma in season one.
And like, we can't blame, like, when you're 36 years old, like, you can only blame your childhood so much, and also that, like, you can't make it everybody else's problem. You have to heal and like move on from that. So while that is sad, like, we can't blame everything on that. But she does make all these, like, sexual jokes. Like, her first season tagline was, like, I'm going to date your dad. Like, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so Uba says, like, oh, you... I think you, like, slept with somebody to get on this show.
Oh, she said set on the show.
She says set on the show.
Dang, which, girl.
Okay. Not the greatest thing you could say, right? Like, not very nice. And so Brynn then says to the other girls, not to Uba, to the other women behind Uba's back, I can't believe Uba would say that to me, because she's one of the only people that knows I was raped.
Oh!
And so the other women all turn on Uba, but they don't tell Uba that Brynn said this. Which I have a problem with. Like, they all just, like, automatically sad. Believe Brynn. And
because they believe women.
Yes. Well, I also think, like, if you're friends with Uba, you would maybe say, wow, I don't think Uba would say that if she knew that.
Mm-hmm.
So, because also previously in this season, Brynn had had a scene with her brother saying, you're the only person who knows this, that I was raped.
With her, oh.
She says so that did Brynn to her brother.
Lie?
So then they separate, I can't remember why they separated the two. Like, I think Brynn was like, I just can't be around her anymore. And for some reason, they moved Uba to the hotel, which I didn't like. I think they should have moved Brynn. But they move Uba, and Jessel goes with Uba. And so Jessel, being an angel of a friend...
Jessel always comes out squeaky clean.
Literally. She's like the only good one. Says to Uba, Uba, why would you say that about Brynn when you know she was raped? And Uba goes, I would never... I think she's Muslim, because she goes, like, hand to Allah, or, like, something like that. She's... I would never say that if I knew that. Like, I did not know that. Like, she comes back to the house, like, says to the woman, like, Allah strike me down. Like, I would never say that.
Mm-hmm.
And Brynn, before, in, like, in a separate room to some of the other women, to, like, Jenna Lyons and Aaron, Brynn goes, I was saying a bunch of stuff on the phone, and I did say that in passing, and maybe she didn't clock that.
Didn't clock what?
Like, that, like, she had said, like, oh, I was, like, assaulted. And maybe Uba didn't clock that I said that.
Oh, my gosh.
Like,
okay.
Basically, and, like, the women were, like, they were, like, what we basically got the understanding that Brynn was lying.
Oh.
That's, like, so awful. Like, trying to kind of, like, ruin someone's reputation like that. So
that is dark.
It was just like a very kind of like dark ending, and I honestly wish they didn't even air it because
it's very serious.
It's like kind of like sort of weaponizing sexual assault in a way that I didn't really like, and also I don't know. It's just like Real Housewives is supposed to be fun and like.
I liked like it when they were fighting about cheese.
Yeah, like, it's just like a dark ending. Okay, anyways, got that out of the way. Moving on.
Dark, gosh.
Beverly Hills, so Kyle sad. Continues to just not be a good friend to Dorit. And shares a message with PK about that she sent to PK when he was getting divorced. I don't care who. She goes, PK is like a brother to me. Super weird. If you're my friend, please don't ever text my husband when we're going through a divorce. Like, you just cut off communication with him immediately, okay? And if you're not friends with Dorit, why is my husband like a brother? Why is her husband like a brother to you? Super weird. And I also think she was lying, being like, I mean, like, production. Like, that just came like a lie. And also her reaction made it seem like she was lying. I don't know. Anyways, I think Jennifer Tilly is funny and eccentric, and I love Bose. She's a newer housewife. Obsessed with her. What else? Southern Hospitality. I'm actually really enjoying this season. First two seasons, did not like. Couldn't even believe they were on TV. It was honestly a hate watch for me. But loving these last two. It's like a VPR filling the void.
Hmm.
Emmy is a canon event. Have you been watching?
No.
Emmy is dating this guy who's in law school. And he, like, trashes her when he's been drinking. And let me tell you what. If someone really cares about you, they don't even think bad thoughts about you. And they certainly don't speak those bad thoughts when they're drinking. They don't speak those bad thoughts behind your back. They don't speak their bad thoughts to their friends.
Well, was she, like, complaining about something he did? Or was she, like, saying, like,
no,
he's a liar.
No. He goes out. And to all of their friends at her workplace is like, she is anorexic.
Oh my God.
She works out too much. She's not the love of my life.
Oh my God.
We should not be together.
Goodbye.
Yeah. Like stuff like that.
That's horrible.
And she's like, oh, he's just stressed with school, blah, blah, blah. Like, this is the best his life is at. Like, this is the easiest time of his life. Like, you think, like, yeah, law school is stressful. So is med school. So is life. So is having a sick child, you know, like, so is being a lawyer. So is, like, your first case as a lawyer. So is a million things. That's not an excuse. And she, like, goes so hard for him. And she's like, he's my person. And it's just, like, when you have to ride so hard for him and the editors of the show, like, her friends care about her so much, and it's just heartbreaking to watch because they try to pull her aside individually and just be like, I just want to check on you and make sure you're okay. And then they talk in a group setting, and she's like, why don't you talk to me privately? And they go back to, like, the previous shots of, like, each of them trying to talk to her privately.
Oh, no.
It's just, like, this is a canon event. We cannot interfere.
It's
one of those things, like, this is just such a sign or such a, like, perfect example of how you can try. You just should not get involved with your friends and their boyfriend because you will always lose.
I feel like it's only if it's like an abusive situation should you try to interfere in someone's relationship.
Yes.
Like only if you can see your friends, like, I don't know. An abusive situation, I'll just leave it there.
And also in a situation like that, cheating, they're bad mouthing, whatever. I think you should only say it if you see it with your own two eyes.
Yes, yes.
And, like, honestly, only if you have, like, physical evidence.
I would say, though, I would tell someone,
and then,
like,
All you do is you just deliver it, and then that's it.
Yeah, just deliver.
Deliver it and back away.
Like, this is the information for you, because I would want someone to tell me, even if there was, like, a rumor going around and I hadn't seen it, I would want someone to say, hey, I heard blah, blah, blah. But, like, I don't think then you should be like, dump him!
Let them take it from there. I don't even deliver a rumor I've heard. If I don't see it with my own two eyes, zip. Because...
But, like, don't you want to know if everyone's talking about your boyfriend behind your back?
No, the person who sees it can deliver me the message.
Okay.
That's all.
Okay.
But, you know,
it's a canon event.
Their own. Yeah, it's a canon event. And, like, I hope she just doesn't waste
too much time. That's all you can
too
hope.
Too much time.
That's all you can hope.
Because being stressed about school is not an excuse for bad behavior. This should be the best they treat you. Like, life is stressful. That's never an excuse for bad behavior. Like, that is actually when their true colors come out. That, like, when they are the most upset with you, the most stressed, anything, that's when you really see how they really feel about you.
Yep. Ooh.
So, okay, next, Southern Charm. Oh my gosh, obsessed with this episode. There's this new girl, Molly, who was a model. She was on America's Next Top Model, and she almost won. I think she was runner-up. Who, for those of you who don't know, is, like, apparently, I watched it a little bit in high school, but apparently it was very toxic. Tyra Banks was apparently terrible.
Really, really toxic.
And apparently, like, she thought she was going to win, and so she let them give her this, like, terrible haircut. And then they caught her, which is awful.
Classics. That's so on brand.
Yeah. And she then developed this thyroid disease, and then made her gain a bunch of weight, which is also so relatable. And so she was in high school, she played tuba in the band, and she picked it back up as an adult, and she plays in the Charleston Chamber Choir.
Love.
And it is... Ruby, she was, like, crying, talking about, like, how meaningful it was for her to play in it.
Hmm.
It was so beautiful. Like, adult hobbies are so important.
So important. Actually, I just had mom ship me my viola.
Get back in it. We should see if there's a chamber choir you can play in here.
Maybe.
Her speaking about it and how it, like, saved her life and was just so important to her. And she was so funny because she was like, I've had a little bit more lip filler since high school, so it's hard for me to fit my lips in the tuba.
That's so funny.
But, like, all of them came to cheer her on. And Shep was so funny, like, videotaping her. I think they're going to get married.
Shep and this girl?
Yeah.
Aww.
I know. It's so precious.
I think also adult hobbies, but also... creativity.
Totally.
Is so important. It's part of... Creativity is what makes us human. It's one of the things. So you gotta...
Absolutely.
Embrace it.
So precious. So, I loved it. I think that's all I have.
Okay.
So...
Well, Severance.
Okay, go ahead.
Do you know the premise of the show?
No, but Spencer started watching.
Should we get him in here?
Sure. But...
We don't have to.
Yeah.
How long... Do you know how long he's been watching?
No, I think he literally just started.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm telling you, this is one of the TV shows, like, of the decade.
Oh.
So, here's the thing about Severance. It's for... Feel free to skip ahead if you're not interested, but I promise you, if you are at all interested in good TV, you will like this. However, it is, like, a little bit of, like, dystopian mystery thriller. So, if, like, that's not your vibe... Skip it. But the whole premise of the show is these workers, these people go to work every day and, like, they're severed. So you are, like, when you're at work, you're basically a whole new personality and you have no memory of your outside self, and then vice versa for when you go home at night. But there's so many layers because this company called Lumen is, like, a mysterious company that's, like, culty and, nobody knows exactly, like, what they, like, you see them work, but you don't know, like, they refine data, but you don't know for what. So it's all this, like, and there's also, like, ethical implications of, like, what does it mean to be human? Because some of the people don't consider the, like, the work person to be, like, as much of a human or to deserve as much dignity as the outie. So there's a lot there, and it's, like, mystery, thriller, so good. But, like, no gore or anything like that. Like, it's just good. So, spoilers. I am up to date to season 2, episode 2. So, if you haven't watched that, then skip ahead. But here are some of my thoughts. Number one, I am on the train that I think Helly is Helena. But I don't think that she is acting with, like, Lumen's okay. I think that she is curious about what it would be like to be in a relationship. And that's why she's pretending to be Helly, so that she can explore a relationship with Mark. Because I think that she has just been so controlled by her family her whole life that she sees a version of herself that is just, like, so free and, like, has, like, kind of fallen in love and wants to know what it's like to be that person. So I think she's acting alone. I mean, come on, the elevator didn't ding at the end of this episode, so. I also think that Mrs. Cole, oh my gosh, what's her name? Mrs. Selvig, that woman. I'm so curious to see where her story goes. I don't think we're done with her yet. I feel like she's going to end up being on Mark's side and helping them figuring out what's going on with Gemma. Because I think that she, like, grew up and has been entrenched in, like, the Kier cult for so long. But I think that at the end of the day, like, she's going to break. And I think she actually has a lot of empathy for Mark and is going to help her with that. I have a friend who has a theory that she had a past loved one that died, and Lumen tried to do the same thing that they're trying to do with Gemma right now, but they failed, or something like that, and that's why she has so much empathy for Mark and is trying to, like, test whether they would remember each other, but I think that's an interesting theory. Let's see. I also don't want to gloss over the fact that, like, they use the name Persephone for Mark's sister. If anyone who doesn't know, Persephone is a character in the Greek myth where, same one from, like, Hadestown, where, like, she dies, I think it's Odysseus, goes down to take her back from the underworld. If he doesn't look back, then she'll come back up with him, but he ends up looking back, so she ends up staying in the underworld. So just something to consider. I'm curious what the future holds for Mark's sister, because I mean, I feel like when like shows and books use names from Greek myths, like, you gotta pay attention. It's definitely like a signal of something, foreshadowing.
An Easter egg,
if you will. I also think that the revolving that they mentioned in the last episode of season one, I think that this whole thing is, like, trying to gain immortality for the Egans. And I suspect that the current CEO, like, is somehow, like, all of the Egans in one, or, because, like, going through revolving, like, it sounds like you kind of, like, have, like, rebirth at your death. Or maybe it's, like, they're preserving parts of their brain until they can figure out how to, like, bring them back to life in the way that maybe they brought Gemma back to life. So, yeah, a lot of questions, a lot of mystery. I love it. Something else I caught, in case anyone hasn't caught it, is apparently they're in, like, the town of Kier. And the province is PE, but the zip code is New Jersey. And also, like, in the video when it was, like, 202 countries or something, like, the UN does not recognize currently over 200 countries. So, I don't know. We're definitely in some alternate universe, dystopian time. And it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Well.
Do you feel like you want to watch it now?
No.
Oh, okay.
That's my brain, recap. That's, like, too much for my brain. I feel like I'd need to take an Adderall for sure to focus on that.
I like the mystery because it's one of those shows where they've been really, really meticulous with everything. So, like, every word, every detail is thought out for the mystery. And so if you pay attention, you can, like, catch things and, like, try to solve. And it also creates conversation. Like, I have a group chat. I have, like, friends who are watching it. So it's, like, interesting conversation. Mm. So, and I love that about shows. I mean, same thing with reality TV. You can chat about it, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, that's Severance. I'll be back next week with my next recap. Can't wait to see what happens.
Love
episode
it.
Episode 3.
Yeah.
All right. What do you got over there?
I have a long AMA, lots of AMAs. Do you want to do them, or shall we cut?
Let's do a couple. Okay. What do we got?
We'll try to keep our answers short.
Yeah.
We can just buzz through. So many great questions, though. Scared of living with BF before marriage because of splitting the rent conversation. This is one short and sweet, okay? Your partner should never want you to be any sort of financial burden. So your rent should be split based on what is fair, based on your income. And that goes for all of your amenities, grocery, everything.
And if not, I feel like you should get an apartment that when you split it, you still feel financially. Yeah. Okay.
So it's like if he can afford $1,000, but if you can only afford $500, you should be in a rent. And if he wants to be 50-50, you guys should break up. No, I'm just kidding.
No, you guys should move to an apartment where total yes. rent's $1,000, you each pay $500.
If he wants no. You should move to a rent that, and if he wants to be 50-50, then you should, and if you can only afford,
I think what I said was right.
Yeah. You should,
but then, if he wants to upgrade, then.
If he wants to pay more, then you should, then he's the one who needs to fork up the extra. But you just have to be honest. If you can't be honest about this, then.
It's not looking good.
Yeah, then your relationship is going to be deeper than, you know, you're going to have tougher conversations than this in the long run, so you might as well rip the band-aid off with just the rent. Thoughts on lab diamond engagement rings versus mine diamonds? I almost always get this question anytime I do an AMA. I do not care what you do.
Can you even tell?
Yeah.
I mean, like, to the naked eye.
No, I don't think, unless you're trained. This is what I'm going to say at the end of the day, because there's a lot of talk about like ethical versus unethical, which at the end of the day, if you look at like 90% of the things that that we own in our life is unethically sourced and made. So that's kind of like a tough call to make. But speaking of something that's a gift, when you look at resale value, at the end of the day, what I can sell a diamond for, it's going to be more than I have because it was a gift.
Is that true that 99% of what we own is unethically
made? I don't want to say 99%, but it's a lot. Like, the phone that I'm holding in my hand was not ethically made. Yes. The clothes on my back were probably not ethically made. So, you know, a lot of things in our life were not ethically made.
Yes, and that's a decision just life. You gotta make.
The things that I buy off of Amazon are not ethically made. So, but like, I don't care what you want and what work for your family and what work for your partner. You should never do anything financially that doesn't make sense for you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like with social media, there's so much pressure to do things to, like, look a certain way. And, like, that's just insane. Like, the wealthiest people I know have, like, small...
Quiet luxury.
Quiet, you know. Like look at, like, Chrishell Lim. She's, like, such a gorgeous two-diamond, like, petite... Like, you know, it's just, like, just do whatever you want. It really doesn't matter.
Yeah, do what makes you happy.
Really, the most... I personally think the most ethical thing that you can do is buy a vintage...
Yeah.
I don't want to say like natural, but like a vintage
ring.
Mined diamond. That's really the most ethical and environmentally friendly you can do. True. You can do. Going to Florida for 2 weeks with my 2-year-old husband only coming for a few days because of work. Should I be mad? I feel like that distance that long isn't good. FYI, his job is amazing money. Check your bank account and move on, my friend. You'll be fine. No, I think it'll be good for you because you'll gain the confidence to be able to travel. You'll get some warmth. I'm never mad when Spencer's working because, one, he has goals that he wants for his life. He's making money for his family. He's the reason we can go on this trip. So don't be mad and encourage him. And then buy yourself something nice while you're away. Any tips on budgeting? I'm young, single, and don't know how to do it.
Okay.
Here we go.
I really like the app Weekly. So I will definitely recommend that. Other than that, you can also... I would definitely... First of all, you should definitely budget. I think that a lot of people think of budgeting as a restriction. And
no, it's financial health.
And yes, it is like, oh, I can only spend this amount each month, but there's so much freedom in being like, oh, I can spend $200 on eating out this month, and then you're like, oh, I have my $200, you know, and you can spend it without guilt, knowing that you can actually afford it. So it's just like knowing your money. There's like this saying that's like money is, that's like a good saying, but basically the reason behind the saying, what it's trying to get across is like, if you don't pay attention to your money,
you money kind of go brrr, when you start not to count it.
That's not what I was thinking of, but yeah, like if you don't pay attention to your money, it will fly away. You should know like every single number in your bank account, like roughly. You should know exactly what your net worth is. You should know how much money you're spending. You should be paying attention to those numbers, because if you don't, you may open up your bank account and credit card one day and say, uh-oh, like, I didn't realize, yes, I was spending this much money.
It's so easy to do
that. Yeah, because swipe, swipe, swipe. But here's some of my tips. I really like I have a, like, spreadsheet where I keep all of my net worth, like, and I, like, will check in on that. I try to do monthly, but it's typically not. It's just, like, nice to know how, like, my 401k is growing, my HSA, like, my savings. And it's also really nice to, like, see your net worth grow. It's very rewarding. But for like day-to-day budgeting, this weekly app, I will highly, highly recommend it, because yes, you have to subscribe like $50 a year, but it's worth it, to sync all of your bank accounts. So like if you are to like swipe your credit card, you will get like once a day, you get like, oh, you need to check your purchases that you made in the last like 24 hours. And you like go in, they pop up immediately, and you can allocate like, this is transportation, this is health, like this is like eating out, this is entertainment. So you categorize them that way, so you can track your spending there. But when you first open it up, it like weekly sponsor us. It like you can put in like what is your monthly rent, and then what are your known, like, repeating monthly expenses. So say like you pay $2,000 in rent, and I know that's a lot, but like this is New York, okay? Yeah. So you pay like $2,000 in rent, and then like you
have cheap.
You have a gym membership for like $180 a month, as an example. You put those expenses, you put how much you make each month in, you put your expenses, your monthly expenses in that you know will be recurring. You put what percentage of your, and like how much money you want to save each month. And then after all of those numbers are put in, and then like if you have debt, you put in how much debt you need to pay off each month. That would be like a recurring expense. Then after all that is done, it spits out a number that you have X amount of money that you can spend each week on anything you want. So that would be like groceries, it would be eating out, it would be like jeans, whatever you want. And then you can like watch the number go down. If you don't meet it each week, you can roll over so you have more money next week. If you spend too much, then it can subtract from the following week, or you can take money out of your savings and it'll continue to calculate your money. I really, really, really liked it. It has changed my budgeting life because it's so automatic. Like, I think that the key to budgeting is like, you need to find what works for you and just like move forward full speed, because it's a chore. So like once you find something that feels easy for you and like really helps you like stay consistent and like keep track, really lean into that. I really like weekly just because I like to know how much money I can spend each week. Like that's just easier for me than saying like, oh, I have $200 of groceries this month. I'm like calculating like, okay, how much is that each week? How much is that every time I go to the store? Like, it's just a lot. So, like, just to have it in one place, especially since Mint is gone. I know a lot of people like Mint, but RIP Mint. This has been, like, the next best thing. So,
also, another really good idea is to, you can portion out your direct deposit. And I think it's good to portion out a little bit of your direct deposit into your savings account so you just never even see it.
Yeah, I can just, like, drop in there.
So,
that's a good tip too.
Yeah, more about your career path and now balancing it with kids and how it works. Thankfully, I'm a nurse and I have the ability to work per diem, so that means I work a minimum of 2 shifts a month. I do not get any benefits from it, but it just provides really great flexibility. It would be really hard for me to work full-time, as anyone listening who is in the healthcare profession, I'd be paying
just because Spencer works leaves at 6:30 a.m. I'd be paying a nanny more in overtime than mm-hmm. I would be making hourly, so it works for me. Struggling to get over my ex from a year ago. We both still have feelings, I think.
Oh my god, you've come to the right place. Okay,
there's still a lot more, but I feel like this is probably the last. This will be the last.
Okay, here's something I'm gonna say to you.
Oh my gosh, I didn't even talk about Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. Okay, so that will be my last thoughts before we do Babu.
Okay, so. Okay, I'm just gonna talk to you like I'm your mother right now. I'm gonna deliver you.
You can't have the same love twice.
I'm gonna deliver you some hard truths. I don't know your situation. If you have feelings, honestly, if you have feelings.
Is he really that good looking? No, I'm just kidding.
That's what I mean. That's one thing to say is like, first of all, he's just a man. I know that's hard to hear,
but. He's really just a guy.
But.
Hit him with your car. I'm just kidding.
Okay. I mean, here's what I'll say. Number one, if you really do have feelings and you think you would like to explore another relationship with him, I don't know what that looks like. I don't know why you broke up. I don't know what the situation is now. If you find yourself ruminating over it, girl, if you're like really having those thoughts, just reach out. I know that's probably not.
No!
Let me finish.
This is terrible advice.
It's not. Like, if you feel like you really want that, then reach out and just get your answer.
But just know that he could not speak to you.
You have to be ready for him to ignore you, say no, XYZ, but don't live a life of regret. Here's what I'll say in tandem with that. Every day that you are not together is a day that he is choosing to not be with you.
Ooh.
I will say that again. To follow up what I said previously. Every single day of your relationship, every single day of your breakup, he has woken up and spent the day choosing not to be with you. Even if you feel like he still has feelings, that's common. You probably shared a lot of experiences together. You can love someone and not want to be in a relationship with them. And I'm sorry if that's a hard truth to hear.
You forgot to hold their hand.
I'm going to hold my hand when I say both. I'm sorry. I'm holding your hand when I said the previous thing.
She's holding the microphone.
And I'm holding your hand when I say this as well. You can love someone and not want to be with them. And sometimes if you feel like you love them and you want to be with them, but like maybe you know it's not the right decision, like Kate said, you can't have the same love twice. Going back to the idea of getting back together, ask yourself, why did we break up? Is the reason we break up something that could change? If it can't change, it's not going to work out a second time.
Yes.
Because like there's a reason you broke up in the first place. If whatever that was, you feel like you can work through it, that's one thing, but that would make a different relationship. Couples break up and get back together. It happens a lot. But remember what I said about, you know, why did you break up? If that's changed now, maybe give it another shot. Again, don't live a life of regret. But also remember, every single day that he has not reached out to you, not asked you to see him again, is a day that he chooses to not be with you.
And don't you want to be with someone that would never let that happen?
Yes, but
for you.
But we also don't know the nature of the situation. Relationships are complicated, but I'm telling you, if this is something that's bothering you, don't, first of all, decide if you, like, don't be a sitting duck. If you need answers, if he is, like, you say there are still feelings, is he stringing you along? Is he giving you weird signs? Mm. Address that with him. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not fair for you. So either say, you can say to him, how are you feeling? Like, sorry for my profanity, but shit or get off the pot. Like, if you need to have a conversation with him for you to feel better, do it. But also go into that conversation.
Yeah, be like, I need to close this chapter in my life.
So I need you to stop. Like, if he's acting in a way that, like, he is, like, making you feel confused, you need to address that. And that's for you. That's not for him. That's for you.
Because guys love to do that. Because they love, like, men, not all, but a lot of men are incapable of being single, which is why men like will quickly jump from woman to woman
Yeah.
So.
And you know what?
Like, he will keep you along, not because he's choosing you, but because he can't be single.
Right. And if
so
he.
So you don't deserve that.
Again, we don't know your situation.
But just, yeah, but to like to Mary B's point, like, if he's doing that, like, you deserve to know. Like, if he's just, if you guys are, like, in a weird situationship where, like, late Saturday night, he's being like, hey, come over.
You should
have,
yeah.
Because he didn't meet anybody at the bar, and now he's calling you. Like, that's not okay. That's not nice.
Or
but
you,
we're literally making stuff up.
I know, like, sorry, we're, like, we're acting without context.
Am I projecting, like, my 20-year-old self?
I'm just, like, no, I just, you say there are lingering feelings, so I think what we can assume from that is that you somehow have contact with him. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm taking away from that is, like, if you have contact with him and things are happening that are making you feel confused, you should address that. And, like, to my previous point, don't address it for him. Address that for yourself and your mental health.
Totally.
So, like, people say, like, no contact, like, da 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 da. If you feel like you need to, if you feel like you, which I'm a fan of no contact, to be clear, but clear, sounds like you already are having contact.
Right, right, right.
So
it's situational.
And so, like, if situationally there's confusing things that are happening, have a conversation. If he can't have that conversation with you, then you don't want to be with him
right,
anyway.
Right, right.
Communication is so key. But again, I just, like, if you are, say, like, again, I'm going to say this one more time. Though I know it's hard to hear, every day that he isn't knocking on your door, begging for you back, is a day he chooses to not be with you.
Let's hold space for that.
And let's hold space for that statement. It's all about choices, baby. Even if you have feelings, a relationship is two people that wake up every day and decide to commit to each other again.
Yep.
You can love someone till the day they die, but if they don't want to commit to you and you don't want to commit to them, a relationship doesn't exist.
In the Church of Mary B, we say.
Other things, I'll just say, independent of him, just try to, like, pour into yourself. I'm sure you've been hearing that a lot. And also, like, I don't know if you're doing this, but don't, like, don't hurt yourself more by, like, kicking yourself for not feeling like you're over him. I think it's hard to get over someone until you feel like you, like, fully feel like you're over someone until, like, you fill that space with another person. And, like, that doesn't necessarily mean that, like, you want to get back with him, though. It sounds like maybe you're curious about that. But, like, don't, like, double kick yourself for feeling like, oh, I'm not over him, it's been a year. Just, like, be kind to yourself.
Totally.
Keep trying to date. Like, remember what I said about him not wanting to be with you. Like, I mean, everything's relative, but just try to pour into yourself, because also, like, I mean, if you're, like, this is, like, if you're, like, if you are really hoping to get this relationship back, like, I don't know, just let him know how good you're doing without him. Like, you are thriving.
Yeah, the best revenge is a life well lived, and at the end of the day, it's better to be single than with the wrong person.
Yeah.
And it's better, this is getting, like, obviously, I'm married, so this is why I'm going to say this, but it's better to marry late than to marry wrong.
Better to be single at 25 than divorced at 35.
Better to be single at 35 than to be with the wrong person.
Yeah.
So,
also, think about it this way. If you are in the wrong relationship, not saying that this is the wrong relationship, but just to give you some more food for thought. If you are in the wrong relationship, you are two steps away from finding the right relationship. If you are single, you're but one step.
There you go.
So remember that too.
The further you take the train the wrong way, the more expensive and the longer it takes to get back.
And again, like, maybe this is the right way for you, but if you really feel like you need to have a conversation, have it and then be like, time to move on.
Yeah.
Like, it's better than just being like, than just, like, literally sitting on your laurels.
And anyways, like, maybe you guys will meet and he'll be balding and you'll be like, look, his hairline doesn't even like him. I don't like him either.
Justice for balding men.
I'm sorry. That was me. Okay. Anyways.
And remember, you probably don't. This is hard to hear right now, but he's literally just a guy.
He's just a guy and you're the prize.
He's literally just a guy. People forget.
You're happiest girl.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Real Houses of Salt Lake City. Reunion number one. Bronwyn versus Lisa. Okay.
number one, the first thing I want to say about Bronwyn. Okay, I'm unfortunately a Lisa Barlow apologist. So, but in the case of Bronwyn versus Lisa involving her daughter, I am Teen Bronwyn. I do not think Bronwyn is perfect, and I don't even think Bronwyn thinks she's perfect. Like, I think she realizes she messed up. They showed this scene where Bronwyn's husband is gifting her this $4 million necklace. I didn't think that, like, anyone actually thought he bought her a $4 million necklace. Like, no one does that.
It's so much money.
No one in their right mind, no matter how much money you make, actually does that.
I would also feel so unsafe wearing that.
Yeah, like, I don't, like, nobody does that. Like, and I didn't think people actually thought that. But I guess they did. Like, there's this whole thing with, like, the jeweler, and she was, like... But, like, I think Bronwyn should have been more upfront and been, like, no, we didn't actually buy that. But, like, she kind of, like, skirted around the question and, like, became, like, very suspicious. And she should have just been upfront and just said, we didn't buy that. But, like, her skirting around it made it super weird. And she should have just been honest. And then, also, she kind of twisted Lisa's word. Well, Lisa... So, basically, okay, Bronwyn got pregnant at 19 in the Mormon church. Obviously, a no-no, because they just don't teach sex ed in the Mormon church, I guess. And Mormons, the father of her child, like, basically didn't acknowledge her. His parents didn't acknowledge her. He got married, but then he passed away.
Oh!
Very sad, obviously. Oh my
gosh, this is a roller coaster.
Yes. Her parents weren't very thrilled about it, obviously, either. Very sad. Imagine being 19. Like, it was hard at 29, so you literally can't even imagine it at 19. And then, like, the father of your child not acknowledging you.
You go into, like, survival mode.
Not even acknowledging you. Your parents giving you a hard time. And so her dad calls her baby's father's parents and leaves a message saying, hey, the baby's been born. They literally never hear from the parents, the grandparents, ever. And, like, apparently they're very, very wealthy in Salt Lake City, like, well-known.
Oh, my gosh.
Salt Lake City isn't that big. So, like, obviously they know she has the child. And, like, your son is dead. Like, wouldn't you want a connection to, like, your son's child?
Like, what happens? Like, can you, like, demand paternity of some kind? Like, paternity support? I don't...
She never did. She never asked for money. She never did anything. She just, like, lived her life. When she was 26, she marries this much older guy, Todd, who's very wealthy. He was, like, the CEO of, like... HP, a Palm slept? Pilot.
Oh my god, Palm Pilot, and, like, throwback.
People judge her for marrying this older guy, but, like, honestly, if I was a teen parent,
she's just trying to do make the same. Away.
Like, you know, like, you're just trying to survive.
She's looking out for her child.
And, like, people give Todd a lot of grief, but, like, he's like, very level-headed. He's not perfect, but, like, neither is Bron. Like, nobody is.
I can't get over that he's the CEO of Palm Pilot. It's hilarious. Yeah, like, that's how old he is. I loved Palm Pilot back in the day.
Yeah, those were the jam. And so, like, they have money, but, like, nobody... They're not buying a $4 million necklace. Like, it's just not happening. And so Lisa says in the after show... So Lisa's friends with the grandparents... And Lisa is, like, the grandparents', like, spokesperson. Being like, they're great people. They're great people. Like, they thought she had a miscarriage. Like, all that. And it's like, she should have just kept quiet. They're not on the show. They're not involved. All she should have just said is, I'm so sorry for what Bronwyn went through and what her daughter went through. As a mother, I can't even imagine. And just left it at that. But instead, she has to be like, I'm so sorry for the grandparents. What they went through is so awful, too. They thought she had a miscarriage. Like, Salt Lake City is a small town. They knew that child was born. They still chose to not contact the child. Because the child is the innocent one here.
Yeah.
No matter what you feel about anybody else, the child is innocent. And they didn't get to know their grandparent. They never got to learn about their dad. because of the grandparents' abandonment. And now Lisa is going on national television and talking about how great they are. Like, how awful. That's all I wanted to say about it. And so...
Wow, that is
It's just unnecessary. Messy. It's just unnecessary. Like, you're literally just, like, in the... And it's... You're involving this, like, she's 18 now. It's just unnecessary. And so, and like, it's like, no matter whose fault it is for bringing it to the show, whatever, mother to mother, not necessary.
It's so crazy.
Not nice. Not necessary. just say, I'm so sorry you went through that, and move on. That's all.
People forget Kate's a teen mom.
I am a teen mom, so I can relate to Bronwyn a lot. And, like, I will ride for a teen mom. Because, like, again, I know how hard it is, and I am stable financially in a marriage, like, and it was really hard at 29. Like, I literally cannot imagine. Like, and I, when I was a sophomore in high school, a girl that I went to high school with,
I remember that. Yeah.
Like, I wish I could go back and just, like, we were not close friends at all. So, like, it really would have been really weird if I would have done anything, but, like, I wish I could, like, and she has a 17-year-old now. I'm like, I just wish, like, I wish I was friends with her in any way, shape, or form. Like, I wish I could just go and, like, give her the biggest hug and just be like, oh my gosh, like, you're amazing. Like, you raised that child on your own. Like, I'm sure that the child is thriving. Like, you did it all on your own. You literally gave up your life. For her.
Not her whole life. Like, if she's turning 18, then maybe now she can...
No, but, like, she'll never stop being... I don't... When I say, like, giving up your life, I don't mean it like that. But, like...
Like, her youth without being a mom. She wasn't able
to live, like, a normal life. Like, go to college at 18, like, yeah. Normal. I don't mean it in, like, a negative way like that. But, like, it is, like, a sacrifice that's just different. And, like, she... made that choice, and, like, she hats off to her, because, like, that was a really big and scary decision mm-hmm. to make at 16.
Mm-hmm.
And, gosh, like, that just, like, let's just show, so, it's, like, I will ride, I mean, obviously, I support any choice you make, like, any time, but, like, I will ride for a teen mom, at any teen mom from 16 to
29,
35, but, like, oh, it's just, for her to, like, have zero compassion and just be like, I feel sad for you, and I feel sad for them. Like, what, why are you sad for them? But they literally abandoned their grandchild.
Yeah, that's, like, messed what? Up. Like, what? That's messed up. That's messed up.
Are you kidding?
Awful. Hate that. All right, Baboos. So,
obviously, it's triggering for me.
Yeah.
Baboos, what's my babu this week? My room is cleanish.
Yeah, it looks really good.
So much cleaner than usual. What should my babu be this week? I've been pretty good about my laundry. My room is clean. I've been pretty good about my workouts. I don't know, I'm like pretty much the picture of perfection.
Okay. Wait, that's something I meant to talk about, but I didn't. Is anyone else having a really bad January?
I feel like January has been really long. Kelly Grace May, if you guys don't follow her, great follow. But she was like, I just wanted to let you all know that the year actually starts February 1st.
Oh my gosh. Okay, I'm going to tell all my friends because I have so many friends that are having horrible.
And also, it's just so January. Long. Like, how is it only January 26th? It's crazy. Yeah.
Anyway, my January's been pretty good, but it's just like a lot of people surrounding me, which then, you know. You want to, like, support your friends, so. Anyway, so. What was I going to say? Oh, my babu? Since you asked. I want to work out. I need to get back into working out.
Oh, yeah. How can we support each other in this?
I don't know. I'm going to go to SoulCycle on Tuesday. I want to run tomorrow, but my meniscus is acting up again. So I'm trying to take it easy. I went to this, my bindings got messed up.
That'll do it.
I don't want to, like, blackball the place I went to, but it messed up my bindings, and I took My first tumble, I was like, oh, shoot, I'm just getting in the swing of it. My second one, I was like, something's wrong. And I think it, like, kind of messed up my meniscus again. So it should go down if history proves itself. But so I'm trying to take it a little easy. But
you got to get to PT.
No. It's too expensive.
Insurance will cover the first 25 without a doctor's note.
Not my insurance.
What insurance do you have?
Aetna.
No, Aetna will cover the first 25. That's
no,
what
I it have. Didn't for me.
At Spear?
Yeah. I paid so much money for like 3 sessions.
Which one? Which type of help, Aetna? We'll discuss offline.
I'm telling you. Otherwise, like, Aetna owes me, like, a lot of money.
Have Tommy just give you some instructions.
I know what to do. I've done PT. I'm fine. It's just, like, I gotta get my swelling down, and I gotta give it a rest. It'll be fine. But I wanna, all that being said, I wanna run, like, 3 miles tomorrow, SoulCycle on Tuesday, and then maybe I'll try to do one, like, weight training this week, and then run one more time. I just, like, need to get back into working out. Though, I have to say, I feel like we need to end. But not running has really opened my eyes to how much time I spent running when I was training for the marathon. I have so much free time.
Yeah.
Because it's also not even the long runs. It's like everything surrounding it. I loved it. I have no regrets. When I think of 2024, I think of badass running.
Right. Structure.
But like, dang, I have so much more time.
Yeah. But I think that's why people like it, is because it kind of keeps them out of trouble in a way.
Yeah, for sure. But now, you know, I have other priorities. Last year was the year of the running, new year.
Yeah.
New year, new priorities. Which, such
now
is
you
life.
Can be more of an auntie.
Yes, my God.
You're babysitting tomorrow?
Babysitting tomorrow.
You and Chandlin.
Can Annie come too?
Sure.
Okay, perfect. She just asked if she could.
Well, zone defense more than...
I know, 3v2.
Yeah.
Will Zara even be up when we're there?
Yeah, I'm going to put her down. You can put her down at 7. I mean, we'll probably leave at 7 anyway, so...
Okay. I think we're going to make a little dinner, if that's okay.
Sure.
We're going to watch the girlies.
We have so much wine, if you guys want it. Not that you guys are drinking, but...
Oh, my God. You don't even say that.
One person needs to be sober, but...
I don't think I would even... I'll tell them, but I don't think I'll drink, but I'll let them know. Thank you. But I think I'm going to maybe do a little stir fry action. Girls night of five.
Bye.
Girls on girls on girls. So
yeah, Dictator will love it. She's obviously like, when we were, Mary B and I were just like sitting playing with her before we started recording this, and she goes, I need attention.
I know, she literally said that. And then I was trying to talk to her and she was like doing something. She looks at me, she goes, do you need attention? I was like, yes, I'm talking to you. So cute.
She just parrots everything. So funny. Okay. Thanks All right, for
we got
on
this.
Us.
Well, this is long, but let's just say it makes up for 2 weeks. So.
Yeah, sorry. I tried and then life got away from me.
It's all right. She's a teen mom.
Yeah.
All right. Have a good week, everybody. Monday reset. Let's go.